Well, good afternoon, Juno. It's just rounding on 3 o'clock, and we have Juno Afternoon. Pat Moore, your host today. We'll be talking with the folks over at the Southeast Alaska State Fair in Haines. Jessica Edwards and Ross Silkman will join us to tell us about the upcoming fair. Carla Hart will come in to tell us about next week's walking audit of Ok Bay. Manuel Hernandez from Choco will be here to highlight Saturday's Burning Runway fashion show. And Meg Mackey will drop in to tell us about the performance she's doing tonight at 8 at the Jack. For the rest of today, the weather looks like rain and the high is around 58. Southwest winds 10 miles per hour, and tonight about the same with the lows going down to 50. Saturday, showers likely in the morning and then isolated showers in the afternoon. The high is around 61, and like that through Sunday, a sunny weekend coming up.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A Massachusetts tribe has signed a gaming compact. Under the deal, the tribe will pay more than 20% of its gross gambling revenue to state government. That's relatively high as far as compacts go. So why would the Mashpee give up so much? From Boston, WBUR's Kurt Nickish reports, the tribe is asking for help in getting land into trust.
Mashpee Wampanoag Tribal Chair Cedric Cromwell says the gaming compact is a monumental step forward toward economic self-sufficiency. The tribe plans to build and run a casino on land it bought in southeastern Massachusetts. And yesterday, when Governor Deval Patrick signed the compact, he said he'd already called the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Just to let them know that we had reached agreement on the terms and that the compact would be coming. And I'm going to be working with the tribe to try to get prompt resolution in the Department of Interior and in the Bureau.
The tribe has filed a land into trust application with the Bureau, but tribal law expert Gabe Galanda says a recent Supreme Court ruling casts doubt on the Mashpee land bid.
I think the situation they're in is tragic. The state and local support of the tribe certainly does not hurt them, but the Secretary of Interior remains without legal authority to take that land into trust.
And it doesn't look like Congress will make an exception for the Mashpee. Still, the Bureau of Indian Affairs says it will do a legal review to see if the Mashpee could get land into trust after all. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Nickish in Boston.
Educators, parents, and others are taking part in the third American Indian Teacher Education Conference in Flagstaff, Arizona. Northern Arizona University's College of Education is hosting the event. Dr. Joseph Martin is conference co-chair.
The aim is to provide an opportunity for Indian educators from across the country and educators of Indian students to talk about how best to teach Indian students in light of all the mandates that we received today from the federal government, from state governments, regarding schools to meet average yearly progress, some of the high-stakes assessments that students are required to meet.
Martin says finding and retaining quality teachers and administrators, along with parent and community support, can help address some challenges. Hundreds of people are expected to attend the conference, which wraps up on Saturday. The U.S. Secretary of the Interior Department says Native youth are getting the message about the importance of healthy living. Ken Salazar joined Native youth at a basketball clinic and discussion at Isleta Pueblo in New Mexico this week. The event was to celebrate 1 year of the First Lady's Let's Move in Indian Country initiative.
The support was overwhelming. Young people that I called on to stand with me on the gym floor talked about how they were involved in the Let's Move in Indian Country initiative because they recognize the importance of exercise and its connection to health. So they have the message, and they were actually out displaying it through their own actions.
Let's Move in Indian Country aims to end childhood obesity through work which includes tribes, federal agencies, and communities. On this day, Comanche actor Gil Birmingham was born in San Antonio, Texas. Birmingham recently was in the lacrosse film Crooked Arrows and in the Twilight series. He's also appeared in a number of television movies and series. Birmingham won Outstanding Supporting Role for the TV movie Dreamkeeper by the American Indian LA Film and Television Awards. He holds a degree from the University of Southern California in administration. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
With funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. Support for National Native News comes from the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
5 1/2 minutes after 3 o'clock, Pat Moore, your host today for Juno Afternoon. My first guests are coming in by telephone from the metropolis of Haines. Welcome aboard, Jessica.
Hi, Pat.
And I understand Ross Silkman is with you as well.
Yeah.
That's correct. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Ross. So you folks are putting together the Haines Fair this year.
Yes, sir.
A wonderful event. I certainly enjoyed myself immensely last year when I went over there. So you've lined up a new set of acts and everything for the main stage. Who all's coming?
So, well, you know, this year we lined up some new headliners. So we've got on Friday the main headliner, Clinton Farron, and the Boogie Brown Band is coming up. He's out of Jamaica originally, but he's been living in Seattle in the Pacific Northwest and then touring throughout Europe. Let's see, we got another gentleman, Eric McFadden, guitar player, and who's quite famous in Europe. He's out of San Francisco, and he's coming up with a couple other folks that form the Eric McFadden Trio. And then on Saturday night, the big headliner at 10:30 is Larry and His Flask, Americana kind of bluegrass-ish band out of the Portland, Oregon area. So those are the three main headliners. In addition to that, both Friday and Saturday night, we got Pendulum Aerial Arts. They're the aerial acrobatics, you know, that use the silks to do the aerial acrobatics show. And they're going on both Friday and Saturday evening, 6:30 Friday, 7 o'clock on Saturday. And we're really excited about these guys. Those types of aerial silk performers are pretty neat. So
it really is. Last year you had a wonderful, almost ballerina who did a hoop show the suspended from the beams in the main stage area. I guess a lot of people don't know if you're going to this thing, it's a real good idea to wear shoes that will allow you to dance on concrete, because A, you will have to dance, and B, that is a concrete floor out in front of the main stage. So,
yeah, no, that's correct. Yeah, especially with some of the music we've got lined up here. In addition to the headliners, you know, we've got a host of other folks from both out of the region, and then also from within the region. So we're very excited about the entertainment lineup this year. We think it's a great 4-day entertainment schedule for us.
Now, I noticed, I think you've got more Juno acts this year than you had last year. I see George Kuar on the list, and let's see, we can probably count Nicole Edwards from over in the Yukon as well. And then Kaya Hartwood is coming over. She's, I think, local.
She's actually out of Austin, Texas.
Oh, okay. And Fire on McGinnis is playing over there, too.
Fire on McGinnis, yep. They're coming up from Juno. And then, let's see, I believe there was Adam Wood as well. And then we have a band coming down from Fairbanks, Anywhere the Sun Don't Shine, on Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have the Whiskey Dicks. They played here a couple years ago, and they evening performers that are playing again both Friday and Saturday night out of Vancouver, Canada.
That's they bill themselves as Celtic Gypsy Punk Rockers, which
yes,
everything in there but classical, I'd say.
I suppose so. It's true, but yeah, it's a blend of the traditional Irish and kind of they've definitely put a modern twist to it. So,
I don't know if everybody knows you have more than one venue going on at a time, because usually you've got the main stage loaded up with one act, and at the same time over in the brew pub dining area, there's another group, and then there's two or three other places where there are groups playing around the fairgrounds.
That's correct. Yep. So over in the Klondike Saloon down in our Dalton City area, we have a stage that has performers on it from about noon or so till 8 p.m. each evening. And a lot of the folks who are playing the main stage will also play down in the Klondike. So that's a really neat venue as well. A little bit more intimate than the main stage, but you're getting some really great music down there too.
Now, you actually have a brewery on the fairgrounds, is that right?
That's correct. We have the Haynes Brewing Company, right on the fairgrounds.
Right. So people can drop in there. Over 21 people can drop in there. And then you have a set of seminars going in little rooms around the fairgrounds during the course of the run of the fair, right?
So, yeah. Well, we have a workshop tent that hosts various workshops that happen throughout the weekend. And they range from artists to musical to dance. To adults and then children workshops as well. There's quite a variety that happens down in the workshop tent, and it just rotates throughout the days. We have a schedule set on that.
I think the other thing that I remember very fondly, and so does my stomach, is you have a food court to die for. That's different from fair food in my experience. You have really excellent food out there.
We do, and I can speak to that. We've got some great food vendors returning and also some new ones. Traditional favorites, the Fireweed Restaurant, which is an excellent restaurant here in town, brings pizza, and we have Mosey's, which is our Mexican restaurant, does a booth at the fair as well. We're also going to have fish and chips this year, which we're very excited about, local fish by the Watershed Council here. They're going to do a booth. And we've got a couple of Juno vendors as well. Big Mike's Barbecue comes up, so we've got barbecue and corn on the cob and all sorts of other things, plus some traditional fair food as well, burritos and fry bread and popcorn. We'll have kettle corn and ice cream and all that stuff, so you can get your sugar fix as well.
There was a pie place. Is it going to be open again?
Yes, the Hospice of Haynes does a great pie booth. They have incredible desserts. They bake lots and lots and lots of your most favorite decadent things. And so that's always a favorite of mine, too, at the end of the day.
And that is all baked locally.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the volunteers from the hospice organization and other folks in the community that bring by a pie and drop it on the table, right?
Yep, they do it as a fundraiser. And
wow.
It's a wonderful thing. They always ask the best cooks in town. So there's some good stuff there.
Do you have any attendance figures from the last year?
Yeah, we came in last year a little over 11,000 over the course of 4 days. There's obvious repeat customers who come, every single day. But we put through is just over 11,000 through the gates last year over 4 days.
Does the ferry system set up a special ride over from Juneau? Do you know?
They're running ferries every day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then they got the fair weather up for Sunday as well. And so... So on Sunday, you could even come up just for the day and head back down on Sunday. On the other days, they're just running the traditional one run in the day.
So if you were staying in Juneau for a couple, three, or in Haynes, if you were staying in Haynes for the fair, then it would start on what, Thursday, Friday?
That's correct. Yep, Thursday afternoon, and it runs through Sunday afternoon. And the ferry schedule is fantastic because it's leaving Juneau in the mornings. On Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So it arrives into Haynes at about 11:30, and then it departs every day at about 6:30.
Can you get a season pass?
A four-day pass.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's that?
Yeah,
run?
You can get a four-day pass, $40. You can purchase it in advance online on our website, and then that way you can avoid all lines at the gate. You just come and pick up your four-day pass, and then you're in and out, for all 4 days.
Right. And if you want to just come for 1 day, it's how much?
Let's see here. On Thursday and Sunday, it's $10, and then Friday and Saturday, it's $15. A couple years ago, we changed the pricing format for the fair, and so that $10 and $15 includes everything. It's an all-day admission, includes all of the entertainment and and everything that we got here. Rides are extra, though.
How do you get from the ferry terminal to the fairgrounds?
Well, right now we're in the midst of working with the borough here in Haynes to hopefully provide a shuttle between the terminal to downtown. There is a taxi service in town as well, Miss Lucy's taxi service, and so there is a taxi available, but again, we're continuing to try to work with the Haynes borough to be able to provide something for everyone coming up from Juneau.
And of course, almost everyone in Juneau has a friend in Haynes.
That's right. That's true too.
So it's not a problem. So, what kind of weather have you ordered up for the weekend?
Bright and sunny.
Ah, okay.
we got our fingers crossed.
Yeah, know? Temperatures in the mid-70s for the entire weekend, right?
Yeah, with just a slight breeze.
Yeah, to keep the bugs down on there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're approaching this thing positively. Well, Haines Fair, 26th through the 29th of July, and ferry service has been adjusted a little bit so that you can get to the fair early in the day and stay either all 4 days or the special run with the fair weather on Sunday that'll get you in there for the morning and get you home in the afternoon. If you're injured.
And this year, we got a couple new things. We got a new inflatable jousting game ride that we've got going on this year, and we're doing a wearable art show on Saturday at 5:30 p.m. on the main stage. We're really excited about that. We're getting quite a few entries from Southeast, so and the wearable arts is huge throughout the region, so we have that going on as well on Saturday. And then we're doing a zombie run. We're billing it as a zombie run. It's a 5K adventure race throughout the property, and you run and you go over obstacles and then you get chased by zombies. And so on, and that's on Friday evening. So, and we're really excited about that one. The theme of the fair is Fair Like There's No Tomorrow, playing off of the 2012 end of the world Mayan calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought the zombie run would be pretty appropriate.
Ross Silkman, executive director of the fair, Jessica Edwards. What's your title, Jessica?
I'm the assistant director.
The assistant director for the fair. Well, I hope that most of our listeners will be on the ferries and there to have a great time at the Southeast Alaska State Fair, July 26th through the 29th. Little music here from the Boogie Brown Band to close things out. Thanks, folks.
All right, thank you.
The music is sweet, yes, sweeter than wine. Yes, it got me feeling so fine.
The music is one of the groups that's going to be at the Haynes Fair, and that's Clinton Farron and the Boogie Brown Band. The Haynes Fair coming up on the 26th through the 29th of July. Special ferry service over to Haynes. $40 for a four-day pass for the whole deal. $10 for either Thursday or Sunday, the two short days. $15 for either Saturday or Sunday, the long days, or by the season pass. Lots of acts, lots of music, lots of activities, a wonderful fair coming up. My next guest is responsible for a rather startlingly large signature drive to sort of look at citizen input to the question of putting a roundabout in Auk Bay, which would change things quite a bit. And I understand that, Carla, you've had some success already. This is Carla Hart from Friends of Auk Bay.
Thanks for inviting me. Yes, we, the Friends of Auk Bay, have had some success in that over 1,200 people have signed a petition asking to save Dee Hearts from a proposed roundabout that would have destroyed Dee Hearts, and also asking the city to do a comprehensive plan for the Auk Bay community so that the road construction beyond the roundabout enhances the community of Auk Bay for everyone instead of destroying some of the businesses potentially.
So Auk Bay as a community, has it ever actually been a town by itself, or has it always been kind of connected to Juneau?
It's never been a separate political entity that I know of. It does have its own post office and zip code, 99821 is Auk Bay. It has its own school. It has the university. It has a lot of businesses out there, almost all of them locally owned and operated. But it is part of the borough.
So when we were talking before the show, you defined Auk Bay as being basically the area from Fritz Cove Road out to Seaview Drive, and that's about a mile of road that's being considered for major changes by DOT.
Exactly. The Auk Bay community itself defines itself many different ways. I grew up out the road, so to speak, out at Lena Cove, mm-hmm. but I always considered myself part of Auk Bay because my post office was there. I went to school there. We shopped there. It's been part of my life, all of my life. But the part that we're focusing on right now with this effort, the main focus has been that one-mile stretch.
So it sounds like DOT did hear what you said. They've changed some of the plans. What does the new what is their new plan looking like? Do you have an idea yet?
So DOT listened in terms of the roundabout, and from looking at their website, they do have, if you look under Auk Bay Corridor on the DOT website, they do have a new plan out that shows a roundabout that's being designed as a 20-mile-per-hour roundabout that pushes back up against the hill towards the university
okay.
a bit more in order to save Dee Hearts. And so that was a success. What they didn't hear and haven't heard is a longstanding interest dating back to the 2003 study when they began, with the community asking for slower speed through that corridor. DOT is in the business of wanting to expedite people at the maximum speed possible, it seems. And by decreasing the speed through that community, you would enhance its walkability, you'd enhance its safety considerably, and just make it a better place with more opportunities.
That big blind curve out there that goes out in on the right on the edge of the hill and then comes back in, it's really hard to envision how you could make that walkable without putting in some kind of walkway that was separated from the roadway.
Yeah, I don't have all the answers. I'm pushing to ask the city to provide a comprehensive planning effort and bring together all the creativity of the people in the community. We've got incredibly skillful planning staff who understand some of the progressive planning that's being used in other communities all around the world to enhance them in some much more difficult situations.
So the next thing that you're planning on doing is something you're calling about a walking audit.
That's correct.
What is that, and when is it?
On Tuesday next week at 6:30 p.m., we'll be meeting at the Auklake parking lot, the Auklake Wayside, where the new launch ramp is.
Yeah.
And we'll be meeting there and walking the 1 mile of the corridor in what is called a people-centered audit. And basically, the audit is designed to engage folks to get ideas and input into possibilities for the area. Maybe they're doable, maybe they're not, but it allows a chance for people to be cued by the geography and talk about what might be. You know, could we have underground utilities? There's black ice always on this corner. What if we move the sidewalk here? You know, Mrs. So-and-so has this incredible garden, and is there any way we can protect this? There's an eagle that, just all of the ideas that could come out from people walking the corridor and thinking about what's there and what's important to them, what they might see that could be done, what they would love to see protected, or what's okay to change.
And this is open to the public. Have you invited any of the officials that are crucial to this effort on the audit?
I have. I've invited, it feels like, pretty much everyone. I invited the Assembly, Senator Egan, Representative Munoz, somebody from the head of Capital Transit, the fire chief, the harbor master, the Auklake school principal. I've sent invitations to all of them, the chancellor at the university, the university planners. I've just posted posters around Auklake to reach the folks that are through there. So, yes, I've invited a lot of folks.
How's your RSVP list looking?
Well, Juneau isn't a big RSVP town, as you know. So I don't know if it'll be.
I think that runs directly into the thing about it's illegal under state law to actually open your email and read your messages. But anyway, I think it must be from the responses I get when I send emails out.
Yeah, well, I'm hopeful that we'll get some response, and whatever the size of the group that we have, I think that we'll generate some ideas and some comments, and I'll share those with the same group of folks that I invited, and we'll take it from there.
So following the audit, then, other than sharing the ideas that come out of the audit, what's the next move?
Well, the next move is for the city to take on doing the comprehensive plan, and they've expressed that they're seeking to find the staffing availability. Everything, you know, there's a lot of issues competing for staff time and resources. And I see my job right now is to help to prioritize the Auklake, because there are so many things coming down the pipe. There's, in addition to the road, there's a major harbor redevelopment for Auklake. Auklake School is being redeveloped right now. And the university is just about to undertake a plan for the campus there. And the fisheries forestry sciences lab is being built out there. So there's a lot of things happening in Auklake, and all of them are being done by people with the best of intent for their specific objective, and nobody's looking at the community, and nobody's looking at protecting the businesses and the residents in the community.
So you sound like you're doing much of this work alone, putting posters, sending out the invitations and like that. Are there other people involved with your effort?
All of the signatures have been collected by the businesses in Auklake.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't collected any signatures except to collect the signed signature sheets. So the Auklake businesses and the staff in the Auklake businesses have been really instrumental in collecting the signatures. In terms of some of the other stuff, it has been largely doing it on my own. I was hoping that with the signatures, we would be done with our part and the city would take on. And so I really hoped that would happen. That hasn't happened, so I'm doing this next push also in hopes that the city will take up the banner next, as they should. If they don't, or even if they do, I'd like to see the Auklake community put together a neighborhood association. I think that would help them a lot. I don't live directly in the Auklake community. I go through it every day, but I don't live in it, so I don't see that that's my role.
Mm-hmm. Carla, thank you so much for this massive effort that you've put together so far, and I hope it continues to bear fruit.
Thank you.
A little music to close out here.
Down by the bay, where the watermelons grow, back to my home, I dare not go, for if I do, my mother will say, did you ever see a goose kissing a moose down by the bay, down by the bay, where the watermelons grow? Ever see a whale with the polka dot tail down by the bay, down by the bay, where the watermelons grow? Back to my home, I dare not go, for if I do, my mother will say, did you ever see a fly wearing a tie down by the bay? See a bear combing his hair down by the bay. Down by the bay, where the watermelons grow. Back to my home, I dare not go, for if I do, my mother will say, did you ever see llamas in their pajamas, down by the bay, down by the bay, where the watermelons grow? Back to my home, I dare not go, for if I do, my mother will say.
Hawk Bay having a little walk around coming up with Carla Hart, taking everybody from the parking lot over across from, the new boat ramp launching area. And they're going to walk a mile Tuesday evening at starting at 6:30. They're going to walk the mile through the area and do a little visual audit of the Hawk Bay area as pursuant to the business of working toward a comprehensive plan for the community out there. Weather forecast kind of interesting. It's looking like we're going to have a terrific weekend. For the rest of today, of course, it's going to be like it is right now, rain. Temperatures dropping down from 58 to around 50 tonight. South winds, they're going to shift around to the west late, which begins the process of the showers tapering off in the morning, isolated through the early afternoon on Saturday, and the high is around 61, and then those light winds are going to whirl around a little bit faster to the southwest, and that's going to change the whole dynamic a little bit, because Saturday night and Sunday, it's looking like no rain and temperatures up in the high 60s. So we look forward to a wonderful weekend. I have two guests who are looking forward to some wonderful weather later this year when they put together a program. But the next part of that is coming up right away. Manuel Hernandez of Chaco is here, and Adam Ward, who dreamed up this idea, as I understand it, called Burning Rain a while back. So what's next is something called Burning Runway. Manuel, what is that?
Hey, how's it going, Juno?
Hey.
What we're doing right now, we're putting together a fashion show as we speak. We got some models trying on dresses right now, and we're looking at lighting and speakers. We're getting technical here. But this is a fundraiser to sponsor or benefit Burning Rain. Burning Rain, it's we're trying to make it an annual celebration, annual festival. And this takes place on August 17th to the 19th. And what it is, it's a gathering of people out in the forest. This is where pretty much, I'm not naturally from here, I'm from Mexico, but I love this area, and this is where pretty much everybody grew up that's from here, so that's their playground. So we're putting a big free party that's an annual celebration for everyone just to attend.
Mm-hmm. Where does the thing take place in the August celebration?
This is going to take place at what they call Sunshine Cove.
Okay.
It's out in the middle of the forest. Something that we take really serious, it's to preserve the place as we found it, or even better. We try to leave no trace. You pack it in, you pack it out, that kind of philosophy, so we can keep doing this as an annual event. Try not to harm the trees or the streams of water, not to divert them. Of course, yes, we do a gigantic fire that's controlled, but at the end we clean up every single thing, every to the last cigarette butt or nail that's left behind.
Now, before we started out, Adam said the reason he decided to do this was because he couldn't get down to the actual Burning Man, so he decided to localize the operation.
Well, he's the mastermind of this whole operation.
So,
but I couldn't have done it without help. I had to go to other people and get help. I don't have a way of collecting pallets or the resources to get out to the community, so I had to reach out and get help from other people. I wanted to create a party that everybody could have fun at, and me as well, so...
Well, you did a great job, bro. I'm really happy that everybody here in the community, that they all wanted to help, and this is all voluntarily. Last year, what we did it all from our pockets.
Uh-huh.
So this gentleman here, he even bought the speaker system, like saved out throughout the summer and brought the speakers, and we rented a generator. We all pitched in with a litter here and there, and at the end, it ended up being a great experience for everyone. When I saw people's faces when they dropped by there, they couldn't believe it. It was 450 to 550 people, persons, hanging out in the beach at night with a gigantic fire that was controlled as well. And, yeah, of course, you got to say that.
Yeah.
And we had a big stage, and it was all covered with Bisqueen. You're talking about, I don't know, what was it, like 60 feet or probably almost 100 feet, you know? In the middle of the forest that was completely covered, and we had speakers, lasers, smoke machines, and we had, I think it was 4 DJs at one festival, and it was just absolutely incredible. I think a lot of people, you know, they were happy about it.
We also had people come out and do live shows. This year we're going to have people with, doing acoustic guitars, DJ shows, rap shows, things like that. So
we got lined up?
We're still working on that. We're not going to say anything quite yet. We'll have our lineup out soon, just so everybody knows.
We're going to come out with the schedule. Actually, that was one of the things we've been working out. Starting on Monday, that's when we go full on speed with this event, because we've been meeting and working it, kind of not to say secretly, but behind the scenes. So starting on Monday, that's when we're going to come out with the official flyer, the schedule of events, because our plan is to start playing music Friday at 5 p.m., and it won't stop until Sunday at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it won't be all loud techno music. It's going to be a mixture of bands, acoustic guitars, probably a little bit of light music during the mornings. Just, something, not even classical, but, something mellow. We also want to encourage the fact that we don't want any people, drinking and driving or getting in trouble. So we want them to camp, so we can have it a little bit safer and have more fun. We're planning on having a grilling section. JB will be the grill master. There's a couple of surprises on the way. It all depends how, we go with funds and stuff.
Is there a road that you take to close to the site and then you walk in?
Basically, yeah, it's just up the street.
Out the road.
Out the road, yeah.
Okay.
Out the road. We're trying to make people carpool, and this year we're going to get the party bus or the limo bus so they can... bring people in and take them out.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, we did it last year and it worked good, so this year we want to do a couple more rides. Pay for whatever fee is it, $20, $30, $40 to get dropped off and picked up again.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be safe. You'll be dropped off in downtown, per se.
Are you charging for admission to the thing?
No, this is all free. This is from you, Juno, to you, mm-hmm. to everyone.
Right.
This is just, we're not making a dime out of this. We're actually... spending a lot of time on it, that's for sure. But that's why this year we decided to have the fundraiser, so we can, we can help ourselves a little more and have that little bit of slack to buy materials, to rent equipment. There'll be as well food vendors out there, finally. Last year we didn't have anybody. So this is all for Juno.
So back up now to the fashion show, which is Saturday night at 7 p.m., and you're doing it over at the Jack.
That's correct.
So when they walk in the door, what are they going to see?
So basically, let's put it like this. 7 p.m., the doors open,
and they're going to see a stage already ready, seating area and whatnot. And we're going to have a 21 and up area. And the thing we're featuring, K&L Distributors, were really nice to help us do a wine and champagne tasting.
Mm.
This is all from them. And so from 7 to 9, we're going to play chill music, really loungy, really, really nice, actually. And you're going to see models, getting kind of ready out there because the show is at 9. So basically 7 to 9, we get the champagne and wine tasting. 9 p.m., the runway show starts, and it'll last probably about 30 minutes. Choco and Shoofly are involved in the show, as well as we'll get a couple makeup artists and hair artists. Right after the show, we're going to just take the chairs out of the way and start the dance party.
Mm-hmm.
Dance party will be from 10 till 2 in the morning. And we got 5 DJs lined up. There's DJ Atropin, DJ Gold Rich, DJ Blaine, DJ Sourface, and me, Manu.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So the party lasts until
2 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And again, there's a charge for this one, though. This is
on
how you're funding the Burning Rain.
That's correct. Yeah. On this one, and this is where I want to explain to all the audience there. It's $20 to access the champagne and wine tasting. That's only from 7 to 9 p.m., right? Of course, you got to be 21. And the general access is $15. So basically, if you make it at 9:05, the champagne and wine tasting, it's $15.
Yeah.
But the runway show, it's at 9. So it's that kind of deal. We'll have Marlon Tini's doing the 21 up area. So for refreshments, they'll be there. And there'll be food, actually, from Lola's.
Oh.
Yeah, there'll be delicious lumpias and fried rice and pancit and stuff.
An event, and the money for this then goes into the pot in order to fund the Burning Rain thing. And, Adam, you're making the massive plans for this year's Burning Rain. Sounds like you need donations of 10 million pallets. And
10 million pallets would be nice.
At least.
I don't want to move that many around, though.
Okay.
Oh, that's another one.
Yeah. What else are you putting together in order to get Burning Rain off the ground right now?
We've got all sorts of structures that we're planning on building, just like little bits of artwork here and there. So it's not just about the music. It's about the community, people coming together and enjoying themselves. We've got some secret things that we're working on to blow people's minds once they get out there. We don't want to give away too much stuff, so you'll have to come out and see it. So, yeah, it's open for everybody. Like I said, we're trying to, and I keep pushing this, keep it safe, please.
Yeah.
Don't do silly things. Don't try to go swimming at 3 in the morning. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Don't drink and drive. And, just be responsible and have fun.
Yeah. Try to keep it so we can keep doing this over
exactly.
and over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It'll be cool to have an annual event. My dream personally is to have people from, let's say, Canada and all over Southeast coming over for this.
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
Yeah. Hey,
yeah.
guys.
One thing we must really reiterate is we didn't have any issues last year. We didn't have any accidents. We didn't have an influx in DUIs in that night or anything like that. So we really want to push the fact that if you are going to come out and you are going to drink, that you do not drive and you have a designated driver, because we do not want those kinds of accidents to happen. There's enough that happens out there already. We don't need this to create more. So
you guys are going at this with exactly the right attitude. Thank you a lot for putting this big thing together.
Thank you.
I hope you get a good turnout tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Jack for the fashion show, champagne wine tasting dance party called Burning Runway. It sounded like $35 for the whole shooting match. Did I get it right?
Oh, it's 20 and 15.
Yeah, so $35 for everything.
Oh, no, it's separate. Just $20 will get you in, but you got to be 21 and up. Or if you're under, it's just $15.
Oh, okay, got it.
So it's or 15. They're called diamond tickets and golden tickets.
Yeah, okay. Good job, guys.
Shut Up and Play the Hits, the new concert documentary about the last show of LCD Sound System, is coming to Juneau on Wednesday, July 18th at 6:30 p.m. at the Gold Town Theater. And KXLL is turning it into a party.
Woo-hoo!
With beer donated by Alaskan Brewery, wine and live music from Nick Tiger of Tiger Pilot.
Woo-hoo!
Live music until the movie starts, then stay for the after party.
Woo-hoo!
This is an all-ages event. Tickets are limited and available only at KXLL.org.
Woo-hoo!
Here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 13th of July, 2012. It's the anniversary of the 1977 blackout in New York City, a day when lightning struck three times, hitting Con Edison substation, shutting down the power grid. The city went dark at about 9:30 p.m. Kennedy and LaGuardia airports shut down. Tunnels in and out of the city were closed. Thousands of people had to be evacuated from the subways. There had been a similar blackout in 1965, and people faced it for the most part with good humor. But in 1977, New York was in the midst of an economic crisis, high unemployment. There was a serial killer, Son of Sam, on the loose. There was a brutal heat wave going on. And in the 25 hours it took workers to restore power, more than 1,600 stores were looted, more than 1,000 fires set, nearly 3,800 looters arrested, damage later estimated at $300 million. It's the birthday of the poet John Clare, born in Northamptonshire, England, 1793, to a poor rural family. He suffered from malnutrition, as a result of which he never grew taller than 5 feet. His first book of poems, published when he was 27, was a great success, but despite that, he felt inferior to other poets of the day, Byron and Keats and Coleridge, because they were educated and he was not. In 1837, he entered an asylum, suffering from depression and alcoholism, stayed there for 4 years, escaped. 5 months later, he was committed to a lunatic asylum in Northampton, where he spent the rest of his life and where he wrote many of his best poems. William Wordsworth wrote one of his best poems on this date in 1798. He was on a walking tour with his sister in the Wye Valley, and he said that he wrote the whole thing in his head, memorized it, never changed a single one of its 1,200 words, and did not write it down until he and his sister arrived in Bristol 4 or 5 days later. The poem was lines composed a few miles above Tintern Abbey. Tintern lies near the River Wye in Monmouthshire, Wales. And it's the birthday of the Nigerian playwright and poet Wole Soyinka, born in Abeokuta, Nigeria, 1934, first African to win the Nobel Prize in Literature, and also a pro-democracy activist in his native Nigeria, protesting military dictatorships, as a result of which he's been imprisoned several times and spent some time in exile. Here's a poem for today by Kim Adonizio, entitled Gravity. Carrying my daughter to bed, I remember how light she once was, no more than a husk in my arms. There was a time I could not put her down, so frantic was her crying if I tried to pry her from me. So I held her for hours at night, walking up and down the hall, willing her to fall asleep. She'd grow quiet, pressed against me, her small being alert to each sound, the tension in my arms. She'd take my nipple and gaze up at me, blinking back fatigue. She'd fight whatever terror waited beyond my body in her dark crib. Now that she's so heavy, I stagger beneath her. She slips easily from me, down into her own dreaming. I stand over her bed, fixed there like a second dimmer star. Though the stars are not fixed, someone once carried the weight of my life. Gravity by Kim Adonizio from The Philosopher's Club, published by Boa Editions Limited and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, iPad users can download the three most recent issues of Poetry Magazine, celebrating its centennial in 2012, at poetryfoundation.org. And by the Mosaic Foundation of Rita and Peter Hayden, based in Ann Arbor, honoring the literary arts and the universe of great ideas. Written by Holly Vanderhaar, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It's 12 minutes before 4 o'clock, and you're in tune with KTLO News in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore, your host for Juneau Afternoon, and assembling, even as we speak in the studio, is Meg Mackey and the band that's going to be performing at 8 o'clock tonight at the Jack, with Liz Snyder, I think, opening up the act and like that. Let me turn microphones on here so that we can pick up as many of these people as we want, and anyone who doesn't have, you know, anyway, anyone who doesn't have a microphone can just dive in on one of the ones that's
awesome.
Floating around over here. Hi, Meg.
How's it going?
I'm assuming you're Meg.
I am Meg, yeah.
We had a chance to meet before this happened here. Anyway, so you're doing a concert, and this is the group that's going to be behind you.
Yeah,
who's,
we got,
who's with you?
I got, on my left-hand side, I've got Marty Severin. He plays bass for the band, and then to my right is Glaives, James Glaives, and he plays lead guitar, and then I think Junior's standing outside there. He's a drummer for the band.
Junior, is Junior not allowed?
He's kind of shy. We don't want him to talk.
He's looking for a chair.
Okay, well,
put him in
we
the back.
We can get him a chair. You know?
I think that's what he's looking for.
Okay. All right. So you basically have been Alaskan for a long time,
mm-hmm.
but you started out in Guam.
Yeah.
So is there a Guamanian kind of inspiration to your music or not?
You know, I think I left when I was, I don't remember obviously, but I was born in Guam, and then we went to San Antonio right after I was born. So I don't really remember it too much, but I definitely have a love for the islands. For sure, and I haven't gone back to Guam since, of course, I was born there.
Yeah.
But I love Hawaii, and that's definitely been an inspiration for a couple of the songs I've written,
so,
for sure.
I think we coaxed Junior in the door
Is
that
right?
Yeah,
so you can come in, Junior.
Is it safe in
here? Do they call you Junior, or is that something that they didn't just make that up?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're the drummer?
I play drums, yes.
Okay, so guys, what kind of singer is she to back?
Ooh, let's put you guys on the spot. I like you. You're a good, this is a good DJ.
I'll turn her microphone off so she can bump
it. Hey, I'm
going
to take a nap.
This is her first band that she's ever played in.
Ah.
And for someone who's never played in a band before, it's quite natural. And it's been good times, great oldies.
Yeah, so you don't have to adjust the beat to keep up with her.
I was pretty strict about it early on. I was a stern taskmaster about it.
Yeah, got her on rhythm.
I did. Yeah, well, she was pretty much there. But I mean, Marty, plays bass in the Jack River Kings in Anchorage, and James, our guitar player, plays guitar in fantastic new band in Anchorage called Ghost Hands. Uh-huh. And so we've all been playing music for a long time, and we recognized Meg's talent, and she said, I needed a band, and we said, yep.
So you guys, have you three played together?
Not together.
So it's really kind of like you're putting this together kind of as you go on this thing.
Yeah,
learning about
I think
each other.
The history of it was that we were, Meg went to Anchorage to record an album about a little over a year ago now. And it was produced by Evan Phillips from the Whipsaws, who we are all friends with, and he kind of brought us in as the studio crew, and I think we all agreed that it went so beautifully and the product was so great that we should just keep doing it, and that's how the band got going.
Mm-hmm.
That sound about right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty much the, you know, minus me. I actually kind of mixed the album, but these guys, like drummer, or Junior did all the drums on the album, Marty did all the bass. And
I
have a little 10-second guitar part somewhere in there.
So, man, what did these guys teach you?
Well, they're still teaching me, but everything. I mean, from being in a band to recording an album. I mean, Marty said, I left a year and a half ago. Well, a little over a year at this point. But, I mean, I've just become a way better musician, better songwriter, honestly. Like, just being around them. We're all singer-songwriters in the band, which is amazing. Just how to play better, you know, and how to be a man.
How's that happen? I'm wondering, do you notice it when it's happening, or is there, are you going along and suddenly you think to yourself, I'm doing things different than I did
it's
before.
Like the it, second, yeah.
Yeah,
the
so you don't know it's happened.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, some lick he's doing on the bass is teaching you how to sing the note.
Yep. And I mean, there's been times like, you know, playing shows and stuff, but I'll go over to Marty's house, you know, and chit-chat with him, and he's got an awesome garage that we can practice in. It's like a hangar almost, and we'll just sit and he'll show me, you know, scales and stuff like that, and I'll go home and practice it, and you know, just little things like that, little snippets here and there that I've learned great things from.
So you're the guitar guy?
Yes.
somebody told me once that what a piano or a guitar has to do for a vocalist is that the vocalist is going to be singing the lyrics and is going to be the focus of the whole thing. But what you're going to do is you're going to provide this little thing that happens there that suddenly makes the words work.
Yes.
Am I right?
I guess.
That a lot of times it's you and not her is what I'm really saying.
Yeah, like I actually, consciously, yeah. I think on stage, you know, like I'll do something kind of lighter, less, I guess, less solo-y while she's not singing, kind of bring it back, and then in the moment when while she's taking a break from singing, you know, I'll do like a, you know, a little fill or something.
Now then you can stand in there.
Yeah, definitely, I think her vocal and my lead guitar, there is a definite, like, play between them at our shows, and it's getting more and more. Like we've probably done, what, 20 shows?
Yeah, up to this point,
25
yeah.
shows or something. And each show, I mean, it's gotten better and better. It's been actually pretty exciting.
When you know it's off, what do you do?
I notice it right away.
Junior's talking.
I look around and I try to blame it on everyone else. What are you guys doing?
We all take it pretty lightly. You know, we don't get to practice a lot because we all have jobs and other bands and stuff. I mean, but we gig a lot. We play a lot of shows this summer.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Junior and I all look at each other and, like, you know, just kind of give a silly face. Like, we definitely don't. I mean, we're not one of those bands that has meetings because somebody messed up a note. Yeah. You know, it's more fun.
But I think also, you know, I think we're all at a level of musicianship. And I think part of the remarkable part is that Meg is already at that level, having played with other musicians for such a short period of time. But, I mean, I think off is a relative term at that point where we think about it and think, yeah, we know we're off, but
the show must go on.
The show must go on. The show does go on. And
but
the difference between off and on is sometimes very subtle.
Somebody I was directing a play and he said, everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong, and the audience never knew it.
Yep. That's usually the case. It's like it's best just to not make an ugly face if you mess up because probably the crowd's not going to.
They're
not going to know.
They didn't know it. Because they don't come into it with the script or anything like that.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so if you took this group of four ahead, say, 3 years, what would you like to be doing? I mean, do you want to keep this together?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Definitely.
I mean, I don't know how
you guys haven't told her that this is our last show?
Hey, that's all right. As long as it's in
the right after you know. This, you're on the street, man.
looking for bandmates? No, I don't know, man. Like,
I do. The answer is yes. Yeah. I want to be doing this 3 years from now and 30 years from now with these guys.
Anything I can do to get rid of that day job. Oh, man. Working for the man.
Yep.
So another CD coming up?
Actually, a whole other album's been written since I left last year. And, the next album is going to be done by, you see it right here, four of us. So.
Where are you going to do it?
Actually... Marty, he's got a recording studio in his basement.
In Anchorage.
And amazing equipment. Yeah, in Anchorage.
Yeah.
And so we're just going to kind of, I think, take our time on it and, just try to do a really good job on it. And the next album is going to be kind of the evil twin brother to this first one. Like, it's a lot more upbeat. This the album Eat Your Heart Out has a lot of really emotional, atmospheric songs on it, which we'll be playing tonight at the Jack. The next album's going to be very much, fiery.
Okay.
Is the word for it.
Definitely have more of a band feel.
We've got to give people a little look at the Meg Mackey sound here. So pick a cut, any cut.
How about Heaven Explodes?
Okay. Yeah. Heaven Explodes. I got to figure out which one that is on here.
Track four.
Four. Hey. Thank you, guys. All right. So here's what you're going to hear tonight, 7 o'clock, concert at 8 o'clock at the Jack.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Meg Mackey and the band, and a wonderful chance to listen to some great music. Here we go.
Blue and heaven. comes with the laughter of ghosts, and then heaven falls down, drops straight through to the ground.
The concert is tonight, 8 o'clock at JACC, Meg Mackey and the band. Go over there and enjoy the music. We're KTOO Juneau. We're on 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau, and we also broadcast on translators throughout the area. K276 AF is 103.1 in the Valley and Auk Bay. Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, it's K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus hears us on K201 AM at 88.1. K220 BT serves Hunnit 91.9 and Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. You get KTOO on K210 AS at 89.9. Juneau, you get us on GCI Cable Juneau, digital channel 871. KRNN is on 872 and KXLL, our other sister station, on 873. We stream continuously on www.ktoo.org. Tomorrow afternoon, you can listen to Jeff on Juneau Afternoon. He'll have CBJ activities with City Manager Kim Kiefer. Andy Klein will drop in with the news on Wednesday's LCD Sound System movie event at the Gold Town Theater.